The Chicago State University Board of Trustees meeting, Finance and Audit Committee meeting is called to order.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Joyce.
Yes.
Trustee Stanley.
Here.
Trustee Young.
Here.
Trustee Anderson.
Here.
Was the notification of this meeting posted?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the meeting notice requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, and the Academic Library Building.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the previous minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Joyce. Trustee Stanley.
Yes.
Trustee Young.
Yes.
Trustee Anderson.
Yes.
Mr. Meeks.
Yes, sir. Chairman.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Glenn Meeks, Vice President, Administration and Finance. We have a couple of action items that we have, but before we get to that, I'd just like to give you an overview of administration and finance. And I'm going to ask our Director of Accounting, Controller Ted Lannan, to come up to give an overview of financial statements and a little bit of the variance analysis. This you should have received in your board packet, financial statement presentations. Balance sheet income statement for fiscal year ending 6/30/11.
Good morning, trustees and guests here. I'll start with, this is page one in the financial package that you would have received. So I'll start with the balance sheet on page one. Just to cover the main variances here. The cash is up $4.4 million, and that's primarily due to a decrease in the grants deficit. The way the grants work is generally we spend the money and then we draw down monies and collect monies based on what expenditures we did on the grants. So the grants are the main driver of that favorable change. The state and other receivables are up. We've been talking in previous board meetings about this that we're still experiencing a slow payment from the state comptroller's office on the payments from the state.
Okay, let me preface something. Let me preface something right now, and Chairman, you are correct. Remember that this is our financial statement report as of the end of June.
Right.
I'll be giving you an update a little later on our cash, our current cash position and our receivables. I'm sorry, September 30th.
Okay. Yes, of course, some time has elapsed. We're almost 3 months farther down. Yes, this is as of September 30th. Okay, so the next main variance here is in the accounts receivable. And that, again, is related to the grants. It's the receivables have gone down. Almost $6 million. That's primarily related to the drawdown of the grant receivables. The next one I would mention here is investment in plant. It's up $2.5 million. That's sort of to be expected. We're adding fixed assets on an ongoing basis, so that's pretty much to be expected. Then down in the liabilities section, I just want to highlight the decrease of $1 million in accrued compensated absences. That's primarily related to experiencing more retirements, I would say, over the past year. So that's my comments on the balance sheet. If you'll turn to the page two for the statement of preliminary combined statement of revenues and expenditures. On that, the first main item here is the appropriations, and it's It's a timing issue. We have a reduced receipt of appropriations from the state. So this could change based on timing. Next is the student tuition and fees. There's an increase of $1.5 million. That's due to tuition increases that we've had. Then I would point to the grants here, grants and contracts revenues, which are down $2.5 million. And that's primarily driven by the textbook and learning materials grant. That's the Ghana grant. We had a big spending, big revenue from that in the previous year. So that changed about $1.4 million. And then there's some other, the MRI-R2 acquisition, there's a change of $280,000 approximately in that, and then $117,000 in a grant term called Raising Expectations of the Black Male. There are others that, smaller changes that add into that total change. In the expenditures, there's just one major change that I would highlight, which is the student services. There's a decrease of $1.7 million. And again, that's related to this textbook and learning materials, because on the expenditure side, it flows through the student services component. Overall, the excess of revenues over expenditures is down about $2 million from a year ago. And that's primarily related to that first item at the top, the state appropriations, the timing of that, because of that's slower than the overall increase in revenues over expenditures is less than it was the year ago. Do we have any questions?
I've got some history here, so no questions for me, Ted. Any questions from any trustees?
Okay. Thank you, Ted. Thank you. The other thing I wanted to do is just give you a brief overview, or sort of at a very high level, about our current budget situation, Chicago State University. Internally, we are working with our various units, departmental units, in compiling our budget requests for fiscal year 13 and also fiscal year 14. And those are being culminated now, and probably by the meeting that we'll have in March, I'll give you a more in-depth report on that. But the current internal budget process that we have in preparing for FY13 and also FY14, it's very elaborate. It involves the entire university, and we met with the fiscal officers. We have a detailed schedule of deliverables, and right now we're on target to submit those and to submit the budget requests for FY13 and 14 up through the budget office, compile them. We'll meet with the university budget committee and go through their, they'll go through their analysis, and they'll come up with their recommendations to the president. The president then will meet with them and discuss these findings. That'll be sometime, I believe, in February. And then we'll come, and then after they have a discussion with the president and myself, then the president will meet with his senior counsel to go over the recommendations from the university budget committee, and then from there we'll come up with our recommendations that will eventually be processed and be sent to the Illinois Board of Higher Education as our budget recommendations for FY13, FY14. Part of the whole analysis, we had a meeting relatively recently with the Illinois Board of Higher Education. For the sake of some who may not know, the Illinois Board of Higher Education, and I'm talking from a fiscal point of view, is the umbrella organization over all of the state universities as well as city colleges or the colleges for throughout the state. And they're our umbrella. We present our budget information to them, and they act as our advocates with the governor's office. So everything rolls up through the Illinois Board of Higher Education. The Illinois Board of Higher Education right now, in terms of the whole budget process, is developing something that's called performance-based funding. I believe that I'm just going to give you the broad stroke. The president may want to elaborate later on or as I speak about it, but basically, this is something that is being done, that's being initiated through the Illinois Board of Higher Education. It's something that it looks like it's going to be here. And it'll be based on certain criteria that's still being developed and discussed as we speak now. And once that rolls out, we will be impacted by it. We'll know more about it as the plan unfolds in the future. And again, the president may wish to elaborate on that. I do want to say, though, that performance-based funding is a reality. Some of the concerns that we have, that you as board members and you as the people listening, that you should know some of the issues that we're looking at, you know, besides the parameters or the yardsticks that they used in which to base the performance of institutions, we're also concerned about the Chicago State University receives $40 million in state appropriations. We're concerned whether or not performance-based funding will be for the entire amount or a portion of it. We don't know. And that's something, again, that needs to be decided. So those are some of the concerns that we have. We also received some documentation relatively recently. The president's office received it. I received it. Something directly from the governor's office, the Office of Management and Budget. The Office of Management and Budget has submitted something that's called Budgeting for Results. We have a meeting that's scheduled on the 19th of December for this institution. We received the letter. This is something here, too, that had been this is new. We've never met with the Office of Management and Budget to talk about our budget because usually, as I had indicated, it's the Illinois Board of Higher Education that submits that information to the Office of Management and Budget. These are our budget requests. These are our goals as a whole. And so this new slant, budgeting for results is something relatively new. So they want to meet with all of the agencies, all of the institutions. They've met with Eastern University, I believe, earlier this week. We received a little bit of feedback on what happened in that meeting. I just want to say that we will be prepared to meet with the Office of Management and Budget and present our side of the story as well in terms of their budgeting for results. So budgeting for results, and then you have performance-based budgeting. It's becoming, it's very clear that the role of budgeting for higher education is changing within the state of Illinois. And just want to say that we'll be prepared to address any and all issues that come forward with that. But just as a point of information, let you know that the playing field is changing. I want to talk now about our cash position. And for that, I'll ask Chad, who's our chief accountant, to tickle the keys. And if you can you guys see the screen?
No.
Okay. Just for the sake of the new board members and others who are seeing us for the first time, you can go all the way down to the bottom, or you can go all the way to the top of the screen. Let me just point out what this is. This is an analysis that we do of our cash position. These are all of the banks over here on this left side here that we currently are doing business with. This report is as of December 6th, so this is a relatively recent report. So this tells you what kind of cash we have sitting in the various bank accounts that we're currently doing business with. Public information, and we currently have about $24 million in all banks currently right now, and again, this report would tell us, we do it by every two weeks. Our payrolls, basically based on our payrolls, every 2 weeks. One of our biggest expenditures is our payrolls. Our payrolls traditionally run about $3 million every period, pay period. So. And that's what we're showing here on a two-week basis. So if you go all the way down to the bottom, we've got our cash, we've got the things that are that we have to pay, some of the projections, and then we've got some receivables, the cash that we expect to receive that are down here to the left. And then we get all the way down to the bottom and we project out then what would be our cash flow based on these periods. Based on what we've got in the bank, what we've got to spend, and what we plan on receiving from the state. And as you can see here, as of
the end of December, we're looking at, and this is the bottom line number 47 here, we currently have $18.3 million that we're projecting that we'll have by the end of, by December 15th. I do want to mention this to everyone. At the beginning of this fiscal, at the beginning of the fiscal year, July 1, the state owed us $18 million for FY11. And I want to say today that about a week ago, the state paid us or reimbursed us roughly about they reimbursed us everything, and so we're no longer in arrears. There's no longer a receivable of the $18 million that the state owes us. They completed that, and they paid us everything for the for FY11. And FY12, the current fiscal year that we're in right now, we're budgeting, you know, we're sending them bills for things that they owe us for, and as of today, they've been paying everything that we vouchered for. And so the state is being current on that. But we were told when we met with the Illinois Board of Higher Education that the current funding that we're receiving for the state right now is educational assistance, and those dollars are drying up. So we're not sure whether or not we're going to continue to be reimbursed for the current fiscal year based on the funding source from the state. But for right now, we're healthy. And we project out for the end of this period, all the way to the end of February, you can see here, based on that, we're looking at cash of about $33,774,000. Significant. If we don't receive any additional reimbursements from the state, our cash is still $19,500. This is the healthiest that we've been since I've been here, in the last 2 years that I've been here, which is phenomenal. The reason why it's jumping up, it jumps up to $33 million here if we receive our reimbursements from the state, is because of the tuition and fees that we plan on collecting at the beginning of the spring term. Okay? Projecting out long-term projections. We're looking here, and I want to, you know, draw your attention to the bottom line. I don't know if everyone can see it. You want to highlight that a little bit? Bring it up. Projecting out long term, line number 26 here, these are the payments if we receive our reimbursement from the state. If we don't, these are the payments at the bottom. So projecting out, if we're not receiving any funding from the state, we continue to project out, looks like we'll start running into problems right around the end of May, when we're down here to $1.5 million. If we don't receive any more reimbursements from the state from now to then. And I'll tell you frankly, since I've been here, that's a pretty good position to be in terms of our cash position. Or foreseeing any other catastrophes, we're looking okay for right now. Any questions about our cash position?
I don't want to jinx it by asking the question.
Timeliness of the state payments. When you read the newspaper, all you read is the negative.
Yeah, you do. You know, we were trying to get some kind of feel too on, you know, we were concerned because the state started paying us for our arrearage sort of early on. I know that they floated some bonds, and I know that they received some cash, and that's the only thing I can attribute it to. They've been collecting on some revenues, you know, that have been out. One of the things is that last year this time, when there was more of a crunch, there was a big push to try to pay colleges and universities for the past year by the end of the calendar year, which was December. There was a really big push to try to do that, to at least pay us some. And so I knew that push would be there again this time as well. And the only thing I can attribute it to right now, as I mentioned, they flown some bonds and they received some revenues, and they were able to do that. But I'm more concerned about the fact that the educational assistance dollars that we usually receive are drying up, and what's going to happen after that. So we need to look at that and see then where is the revenue coming from in order to reimburse us for the dollars that are owed for the current fiscal year as we begin to spend down. We are still going to continue to meet our obligations, payroll obligations, pay our vendors, you know, support the programs and do the things that we need to do. and that's, so I'm concerned about when we plan on receiving the other dollars. Right now, they haven't dried up. As I mentioned, everything that we vouched for, we received thus far. And so what I'm asking my staff to do is to hurry up and continue to get those vouchers out as quickly as possible so that we can, so that we're first in line when the dollars do come.
Good. I feel like we have this discussion every December. However, the cash position looks much better.
Yes.
You know, I remember it looked a whole lot bleaker last May, June, so.
Yeah, we went, you know, this time last year, we were going before the president and I, we had a meeting with the governor's office, the Office of Management and Budget, and we were basically saying, hey, look, you know, we need cash. We need to be reimbursed for the dollars that you guys currently owe us, or this is what's happening. These
accounts. Well, let me go back on what I said before. I'm an investor by trade, so mm-hmm. when things look that good, I'm always worried. So is there anything other than what you've already told us that could throw that off? I mean, you say catastrophes happen, so is there one that could really throw that off?
No, I think the only thing that we can look at, one of the things that we're looking at, we're still monitoring our cash very carefully. Just because we appear to be cash healthy at the moment doesn't mean that we're going to go out and break the bank and spend. You know, we're still cautiously optimistic. We know that we still have years to, you know, we still have a lot of this fiscal year to go. And so we're looking at that. We also know that the only other thing is that I had a discussion with the chief of police concerning some of our capital needs some of our deferred maintenance needs. We know that there's issues over in the library that we need to address, you know, the leaky. And we know that there was a water main that just burst that we need to address, too. So those are the things that we're going to look at and we're going to monitor very carefully, you know, as we move forward to address those needs.
Any other questions, trustees? Thanks, Mr. Meeks.
Okay. That's it on the cash. I want to talk a little bit about you know, before I get to the action items, I want to talk a little bit about the external audit that's going on right now. The external audit that we're currently going through, which is for FY11, is pretty much wrapping up. I spoke with the lead individual for the audit firm that's doing the audit. I spoke with him this morning, and we're pretty much on target to completing, the audit. My position to him is that as they begin to wrap up, that he and I meet prior to his meeting with the Office of the Auditor General before he submits to them his report, is to meet with him and sit down and we go over any of the findings or the issues that he has to make sure that we have an opportunity to vet things out before he submits his information to the Office of the Auditor General. He has agreed to do that. And so I'm really looking forward to that meeting with that individual as we begin to wrap things up. So again, they should be, we have the end of December as a target date for completion. After that, they'll be putting together reports and we'll be doing a lot of cleanup and some other things. And the report should be out and published sometime in March. Okay?
Yeah, we don't have to belabor that one, G. Scott and I.
Oh yes, oh yeah.
And attention on it, thank you.
Good, good. All right, on that note, let's move to the action items if there's no other questions concerning the my overview. The first action item that we have up is our beverage RFP, our beverage contract, and for that I'll ask the Associate Vice President, Larry Pinkleton, to come up to share with us the action item.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, and the Board of Trustees. My name is Larry Pinkleton and would like to share with you a recommendation that is coming out of the Beverage RFP Committee that evaluated the prospect of having a vendor come to campus and provide both vending and pouring rights to the Chicago State University. Would like to bring forth a resolution that we recommend that Pepsi be selected as the vendor of choice to provide this service to the university. The contract, if all goes according to plan, would hopefully be executed sometime in the early part of the first quarter of next year. So sometime in the January-February time period is what we would expect if we're successful in finalizing all negotiations.
It's my understanding it was Pepsi and Dr. Pepper, and Pepsi was kind of a head and shoulders above. Contract was much more favorable. We've been without a contract, so to put us back into a contract.
That's correct.
If that's all correct, I have no questions. Any other trustees' questions on that? Trustee Anderson, I imagine you have.
Yeah, for the students, did they fix the, there's numerous machines within the Jacoby Dickens Center that were non-operating, Gatorade machines, some of the Pepsi machines. Have those been rectified?
Well, again, the contract has not officially begun yet. Part of the discussions that we've had with Pepsi is to basically do a 100% swap out of all the existing vending equipment across campus. The intention there would be to provide a nice fresh look, bring their newest products to market, and basically give the university a new look and feel as far as the vending operation is concerned.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Have either Pepsi or Dr. Pepper hired any of our students in the last 5 years?
That's an excellent question. I just cannot speak to that.
Asked a similar question, and I was told that there were some Chinese walls.
Just curious.
We couldn't go over.
That's a great question. For the record, we could ask after we approve the contract, but yeah, we should definitely push that.
Do you want to add something, Patrick?
No.
Great. And just in the spirit of shared governance, I wanted to make sure that you did involve the students.
The committee was actually made up of all key constituents across the campus, and representing the student voice, we did have the director of student activities on the decision committee.
Great, thank you. If there are no other questions, is there a motion to approve?
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved. Second.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce? Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
Thanks, Mr. Pickett.
Thank you.
The final action item that we have, Chief Ronnie Watson will present the snow removal.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President.
Nice to see you, Chief.
Our previous 5-year snow removal contract expired. This year we went through the procurement process, and IFB went out. A new vendor has been selected at Beverly Snow and Ice. They're located in Markham, Illinois. Our new contract, rather than being a straight 5-year contract, it is a 1-year contract with our option to renew for 4 additional years, 1 year at a time. That way, if they do not satisfy, do satisfactory work for us, we can get out of the contract. The contract, the resolution in front of you is for a total of $300,000, $60,000 a year, and we're asking your approval before we go forth and get this contract approved.
Chief, are they minority-owned?
No.
Okay. Were minority-owned firms considered?
Yes. All the bids came in. We considered everything there, and this was the final. This was the final select.
Excellent. I don't know how we can argue this one. So, any other questions from the trustees?
No.
Excellent. If not, is there a motion to approve this resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
You properly moved the second. Thanks, Chief.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
Thanks, Glenn. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Cloud?
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, President Watson and trustees. My name is Ken Cloud. I'm the Chief Internal Auditor for the record, and Deborah Muhammad. My Assistant Chief Internal Auditor is accompanying me today. She is going to assist in with any questions that we may have directly related to audit reports that were completed. If I could have you turn to page 2 of the package that I provided to you, it's the highlight section. First bullet point, in the first 2 quarters of fiscal year 2011, we have been working on numerous projects that were holdover projects from fiscal year 2010. We have completed most of those. We have one holdover project right now that we're in the process of finalization on. We have just some management responses we have to finalize with that report, and that should be issued relatively shortly. One of the good things I want to really talk about here is we have an internship program that has gone very well. Four of the interns that we currently have secured internship positions at the Big Four, KPMG and EY. We also have one of them that is graduating this year, and we're very optimistic that she's going to find a job relatively quickly. We also coming for the spring term. We have one more that's going to be coming on board with another one that will be starting sometime in the fall of next year. So we've got a rotational program here that is really working very well, and the students are getting a lot of good experience from this. One of the other things that we want to touch upon is one of the initiatives that we are working on at Internal Audit is to get the Internal Audit Shop into the 21st century. And in so doing, we have had a committee, an RFP has gone out for Internal Audit software. We have finalized that process. We are in the process now of posting the vendor of choice. So that right now, and part of the thing, one of the things I want to tell you about is there's a couple of things regarding this software that is really going to help the university. It allows us to perform more focused, risk-based internal audits as opposed to trying to do everything in a manual format. It will provide us with enhanced board and management reporting. We will be able to do this reporting electronically as opposed to myself and Deborah here trying to put a package together in a manual format and preparing graphs in Excel and such. It will help us streamline our audit process. So that will enable us to increase our hours and be a little bit more timely, a little bit more efficient, effective in the way we execute our internal audits. It also provides us the ability to have our work papers and documentation support that are required by the Institute of Internal Auditors as well as the state, which also can be reviewed by the external auditors at their asking to be in a format that can be reviewable and not cause us any audit findings from the external side. The other piece I want to tell you about this is it's going to provide us a mechanism to automate the tickler file process. What I mean by that is it's going to allow us to manage all of the internal and external audit findings so we can report on that at any given time or moment in time as to whether or not it has been completed, what percent complete it's in, and so forth. And this will allow not only internal audit, but the board as well as internal CSU management administrators to obtain and evaluate. One of the programs that we have been working on, and we just started it this year, was our legislative mandate in CSU policy audit program. What we're doing, normally in our vast auditing universe, we do look at policies and procedures when we do an entire audit, for example, in accounts payroll or something like that. We'll take a look at any mandates that are applicable to that particular audit at the time. But what this particular what we're doing here is we're taking mandates and we're looking at them singularly so that we can determine whether or not the university is in compliance with either the state, the federal, or just in compliance with its own policy and procedures. What we know is that we have over 800 internal policies and procedures, state mandates, and federal mandates that have to be audited. And we have three staff to do that. So given that, there's only a subset that we could possibly do in any given time. So what we try to do is we try to stay a step ahead of the external auditors, given the fact that we know the population, we know what they've currently looked at, and we know what we've looked at in the past. So that gives us an idea of what they could potentially be looking at. Now, there's no guarantee that we'll pick the thing that they look at. We're trying to take our best guess using the risk associated with it, the dollar values associated with the particular mandate, and the severity of it to try and be a step ahead of them. So that's basically what our legislative mandate and CSU audit program is. We have a couple of draft reports that are still in progress right now, incomplete grades and academic review. One of the things that the academic review we're still in process with, this has been abused. It is, we've put about 600 hours of internal audit time alone, not including other CSU staff and administrators who have put in a tremendous amount of time into this initiative. So in results of that, I'm going to be providing a revised internal audit plan by the end of this year to President Watson for his review and signature. It's also required by the state mandate anyhow, but this is just one of those things that will cause quite a significant change in the current plan going forward for this year. And I will be providing, as I normally do, a two-year rotational plan to Dr. Watson for review. In fiscal year 2011, we issued roughly about 13 operational, financial, and compliance audit reports. One of the things that was asked of us was to go back and take a look at what we had issued and how it related to the external audit findings or now and or in the future. One of those things that we did was we pulled and every audit report and we looked at every substantive issue that we had, resulting in 72 audit findings that we had issued in the internal audit realm. Of that, 37 can be related and attributed to helping to prevent external audit findings in the future. And as we work with management and the administrators to help implement or give them feedback and information on the internal controls of the university, we believe that a lot of these will help the university in the future. The last piece I'd like to talk about is the development of the internal audit department and some of the infrastructure items that we have been ongoing with. There's still a number of things, initiatives that we're still trying to undertake. And one of those that we're also looking at right now is assessing avenues for students, faculty, and administrators to have a direct line, whether it be through phone, whether it be through a website or, you know, whatnot, direct line to internal audit to provide us with some feedback on issues that they may see that we just can't see because our eyes are only in a certain area. So we're in the process of looking into, we're in our preliminary stages at this point of looking into preparing an audit brochure, you know, posters that may go around, maybe putting in a hotline, and definitely finalizing the website that we have been working on the past year. I'd like to also direct you to page 4 and 5 of the report. Fiscal year 2012 internal audit plan. This provides you with the synopsis of the current plan that we had approved by President Watson prior to June 30th, 2011. It provides you a synopsis of where we are on the particular audits that we are in process with, what the percent complete is, and expectations as to when what quarter we expect to perform some of our work. Also, in regards to the in terms of the internal audit infrastructure items on page 10, as we have discussed in regards to the brochure and some marketing materials, the internal audit around the campus, I've provided a table or a bullet point synopsis down there of where we are in terms of percent completion in terms of audit infrastructure items. One of the major things that the new audit software is going to enable us to do is provide the administration with risk control matrices, which is something that is near and dear to me as an auditor coming from various different realms, which provides the CSU administrators, faculty, and staff a picture of what the internal control structure looks like within a particular process. And it helps us to evaluate it more critically from a risk standpoint and from whether or not we have the right controls in place and whether we need to put additional controls to you know, mitigate risk a little bit better. Given that, do you have any specific questions for Deborah or myself?
I have no questions. Any questions from the trustees? Thanks, Mr. Cloud. Part and parcel to that, Ms. Davis.
Good morning, President, Chairman, trustees.
As you are aware, I've been facilitating the audit itself, and during the course of that, I've had an opportunity to work with all the staff and work on compliance issues that are relevant. Now that the audit is winding down, I have more time to function or to focus on the structure of the actual compliance program. In doing that, I'm happy to know that we met for the first time. The Compliance Steering Committee met this week. It was a very productive meeting, and I came out with a lot of ideas as to how we will implement our structure. I've been working with Dr. Renee Mitchell with respect to the training for employees, because that's going to be very important. Compliance is really the obligation and the responsibility of every person who's sitting in the seats, and the education and training of all of our employees is going to be critical in us moving forward with that. In addition to that, we've also, compliance has also put together a compliance hotline. And we kind of playing with the idea, I'm thinking about calling it more, I got a suggestion to call it a compliance resource line. We have not worked out the logistics of that, but we'll be rolling that out sometime in January to give people an opportunity to communicate with the Office of Compliance and to enter and to communicate what their concerns are. One of the things that that I think is important is to really explain to staff what compliance is. And to that end, Dr. Mitchell had a great idea to do something called Compliance Week, which we will roll out the first week, I think, which we're shooting for the end of January, for 1 week each day, we will focus on a different issue of compliance. And there are some issues in compliance that are really unique to the department. And to that end, what staff has indicated to me that would be helpful for them is if it's for me to go through the state mandates, kind of evaluate which ones apply to each department. And I think that's a great idea because it will help me then when I make my, meet with them, what I can do is sit down, we can go through the mandates, we can review the policies, determine whether the policies are addressing the issues of the mandate, and I'll be working closely also with internal audits so that they can also do applicable audits to make sure that that these controls are actually addressing the mandates. So, I'm very excited about the steering committee. I got a really healthy participation. Everyone came in with lots of great ideas. Rome's not built in a day, but I have a really good feeling about the way we've been playing those games. I do interact with the president on a regular basis. We talk frequently about compliance, but going forward, I will be putting myself in this calendar on a monthly or every other month, so that I can update him as to what the status of and where the compliance program is actually headed. Are there any questions about the compliance program?
I've got none, just happy it's there. As I told you before, when you need more resources, it's important you raise your hand. So you'll be integral to this audit. So a lot of the other internal policies. So appreciate the work you've done to this point. I've got no questions. Any questions for the other trustees?
Are there any students on the steering committee?
No, they are not. At this point, what I did was reach out to key members, all on staff, including academics, to apply, but to give their input. But if I'm happy to entertain that.
I would like to volunteer.
Great. Well, at this point, I'll put you on the list. What the steering committee is doing now, we hope to get it out to quarterly. But I think everybody at the meeting agreed that it was productive for us to try to meet at least every other month, or we're trying to every month, but at least every other month, because this is a critical part of actually establishing the program. So I will put you on the email list. And I'm documenting all of these meetings. So for each meeting, I have an agenda, I have a sign-in sheet, and I have typed minutes for each meeting. So what I can do for you, I can send you a copy of the agenda that we had, the minutes, so you can see what we discussed, and then then we'll send you a meeting request for the next meeting.
Thanks, Ms. Davis.
Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Warner.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Board, I'm Carol Carson Warner, and this is Gerald Knox. Gerald Knox is our financial manager, and I'm the executive director of the Textbooks and Learning Materials Program. And for those of you that are new, our program is funded by the United States Agency for International Development. And the major focus of this program, which actually has a life on campus for 5.5 years, has been to develop learning materials in cooperation with Ghanaian partners. The individuals primarily from Chicago State who's been involved have been College of Education faculty in the development of these learning materials, which are primarily workbooks and teacher's guides for kindergarten through primary three, which is the third grading level. My report I submitted, we have at this point had a total budget of about $8.5 million. We are on task. Actually, we've exceeded our major objective, which was to print $4.1 million, which we've exceeded by $4.1 million workbooks and teachers' guides by 43